This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وما أكثر الناس ولو حرصت بمؤمنين وما تسألهم عليه من أجر إن هو إلا ذكر للعالمين وكأين من آية في السماوات والأرض يمرون عليها وهم عنها معرضون وما يؤمن أكثرهم بالله إلا وهم مشركون أفأمنوا أن تأتيهم غاشية من عذاب الله أو تأتيهم الساعة بغتة وهم لا يشعرون قل هذه سبيلي أدعو إلى الله على بصيرة أنا ومن اتبعني وسبحان الله وما أنا من المشركين وما أرسلنا من قبلك إلا رجالا نوحي إليهم من أهل القرى أفلم يسيروا في الأرض فينظروا كيف كان عاقبة الذين من قبلهم ولدار الآخرة خير للذين اتقوا أفلا تعقلون حتى إذا استيأس الرسل وظنوا أنهم قد كذبوا جاءهم نصرنا فنجي من نشاء ولا يرد بأسنا عن القوم المجرمين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي فالحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد once again everybody السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته today I'm going to try to discuss with you something about the coherence and the placement of ayahs number 103 to 110 of Surah Yusuf. If you guys aren't familiar, we've done an ayah by ayah reading of the surah and some analysis of the surah, and now we're looking at the organization and the structure of the surah and the way Allah has compiled the arguments of the surah. And we're still in the middle of looking at the final passage of the surah, which is essentially 102 all the way to 111. So 102 to 111, but I'm taking, 103 to 110 as an insertion in the conclusion. So in the last session, I spoke to you about three essential components that were part of the introduction of this surah, and how those same three components are coming back in reverse order in the conclusion of this surah, with the exception of this passage that I recited to you in its entirety, which is sort of an insertion of a new topic that was not discussed in the beginning or anywhere else in the surah. It's only talked about here. So first, what I'm going to try and do is kind of read through this. I recited through it. I'm going to read through it again. And I'm just going to translate it in flow. And that'll give you an idea of what is it that Allah is talking about. I won't explain much. I'll just translate it so you'll have an idea of what's being said. And then we'll talk about why that's an insertion, why that's not part of the larger topic that was going on, and it seems Allah has included and inserted something that wasn't actually there in the rest of the surah. So let's begin. وَمَا أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ وَلَوْ حَرَصْتَ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ One thing I will say, whenever I say the word you in this ayah, the word you, because in English the word you can be referred to, I can use the word you to talk to a woman, I can use the word you to talk to a man. I can use the word you to talk to 2 people, 10 people, 1,000 people, 10,000 people. Doesn't matter. The word you applies to everybody, right? But the word you here is the singular masculine form, anta, across the board. So what that means is Allah is talking directly, first and foremost, to His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and by extension, the rest of us. So that's one important thing, that Allah is talking to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this passage. So now let's begin. وَمَا أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ وَلَوْ حَرَصْتَ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ And most people will not, no matter how much you have, how much zeal you may have for it, will not become believers at all. وَمَا تَسْأَلُهُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجْرٍ And you're not asking them for any compensation whatsoever. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرٌ لِلْعَالَمِينَ It is nothing but a reminder for all nations and all peoples. وَكَأَيِّمْ مِنْ آيَةٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ يَمُرُّونَ عَلَيْهَا And how many a miraculous sign are they passing by that they pass over in the skies and in the earth. وَهُمْ عَنْهَا مُعْرِضُونَ As they are completely oblivious of them. وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ بِاللَّهِ And most of them will not even believe in Allah إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ Except that at the same time they will commit shirk, they will commit partners with him. أَفَأَمِنُوا أَن تَأْتِيَهُمْ غَاشِيَةٌ مِّنْ عَذَابِ اللَّهِ Are they then feeling safe? Are they secure from the possibility that a hovering, overwhelming punishment, form of Allah's punishment will come at them? أَوْ تَأْتِيَهُمُ السَّاعَةُ بَغْتَةً Or the hour itself will attack them out of nowhere all of a sudden. وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ And they will be the ones that don't realize it at all. قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي Say, declare, this is my path. أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ I call to Allah with eyes open, with insight. وَأَنَا I myself, وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي And whoever were to follow me. وَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ And I declare Allah's perfection, how perfect Allah is. وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ And I am not of those who associate with Allah at all. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ إِلَّا رِجَالًا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِمْ And we haven't sent from a long time before you even, except men that we gave inspiration to, that we inspired to. مِنْ أَهْلِ الْقُرَى from the people of the great towns. أَفَلَمْ يَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ Didn't they then travel around in the land? فَيَنْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ Then they took a good look. What was the outcome? What came of those who came from a long time before them? وَلَدَارُ الْآخِرَةِ خَيْرٌ لِلَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا And the home of the afterlife, the home of the final end is better for those who had cautioned themselves, protected themselves, and were pious. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ Is it then that you all will not apply your intellect? حَتَّى إِذَا اسْتَيْأَسَ الرُّسُلُ Until even the time came that messengers almost lost all hope. وَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ قَدْ كُذِبُوا And they were convinced that they have been lied to. جَاءَهُمْ نَصْرُنَا Our aid came to them. فَنُجِّيَ مَنْ نَشَاءَ So whoever we want was rescued. وَلَا يُرَدُّ بَأْسُنَا عَنِ الْقَوْمِ الْمُجْرِمِينَ And our punishment will not be taken away from the criminal people. That's the passage we're talking about in a nutshell. If you were kind of trying to follow along as I was translating quickly, what you probably caught on to was Allah continuously criticizing the audience of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Mecca, the Quraysh. And he's telling the Prophet himself, most of them are too stubborn. They're not going to listen to what you're saying. It's not like you're asking them for money. This is a reminder for all nations. It's not just limited to them. Who do they think they are? In huwa illa dhikrul alameen. So that's how it begins. Then he says, I'll show you the logical passage of this argument first. The logical the argument is, if they're rejecting you and this reminder that Allah has sent, that's nothing new for them. How many signs in the skies and the earth have they passed by every single day that they ignore? They're used to ignoring my reminders. وَمَا يُؤْمِنُوا أَكْثَرُهُمْ بِاللَّهِ And even the many of them who do believe in Allah end up doing some kind of shirk with him anyway. So even the ones that have some faith, contaminate that faith. And what did they do? And you know why they contaminate that faith? Because the most common form of shirk among the mushrikeen of Makkah was that they would have daughters of God, sons of God, angels, saints, whoever, who is going to intercede on their behalf. So they can be messed up. And obviously when you're messed up, you're going to get in trouble with Allah. But you got a good connection who'll speak to Allah on your behalf, right? So that makes you feel safe. So notice Allah mentions their shirk, and then immediately after he mentions, are they feeling safe? Because their shirk is associated with a false sense of safety. So it's a logical continuation. So they commit the shirk even after believing in Allah. Is it that they feel some sort of safety? That no punishment from Allah will come? You know why? Why would God not punish this town? Well, we have his daughters and his beloved saints and his idols in his haram. Why would he destroy this town? Because we're holding his beloveds here hostage. So we're safe, you know? So are they feeling safe that no overarching, hovering punishment will come? A form of Allah's punishment will come and get them? Or even better yet, are they safe? Even if they think no worldly punishment will come, how are they so secure that the judgment day itself won't come at them? Where do they get that sense of security from? وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ While they have no clue whatsoever. So what's that telling us? Shirk helps someone become clueless. Shirk makes someone feel a false sense of security so they can think about other things, right? Like think of it this way. If you thought that the door's locked, then you can worry about cooking. Then you can worry about cleaning the house. You can play video games, whatever you want to do, because you don't have to worry about safety anymore. So you can preoccupy yourself with other things. Now, if you feel you're not safe, what's the first thing you're going to do? Make sure that you're what? Safe. You're going to lock the doors. You're going to take whatever precautions. So what is Allah telling us? People who do shirk feel like, I don't have to guard myself from Allah's punishment. I've got people, I've got intermediaries that I make happy. They'll take care of that problem. I can deal with the rest of life. And Allah says, you think they're going to deal with judgment day for you? You think they're gonna save you from a punishment that I can even bring in this life? Moreover, of course, when you have to stand before me on judgment day. So then, by contrast, because they use the word Allah for God, and the Prophet ﷺ uses the word Allah for God. So what is the Prophet ﷺ told to say? قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي Tell them, this is my path. أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ I'm calling to Allah with clear insight, with eyes open. Ana, I, woman ittaba'ani, and whoever were to follow me, wa subhanallah, and I declare Allah's perfection, meaning I will not associate anyone with Allah. And Allah is too perfect for me to feel secure and this develop this false sense of security. The only safety is with Allah Himself. Wa ma ana min al mushrikeen, and I am not from those who do shirk at all. And these words I've told you before, these words of the Prophet ﷺ are actually an echo of the words of Ibrahim ﷺ when he told his people, وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ And Allah said about him, مَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ لَمْ يَكُ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ He wasn't from those who did shirk. So he's actually now reiterating the legacy of his father who built that house to begin with. And now thousands of years later, he's repeating those same words. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ إِلَّا رِجَالًا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِمْ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْقُرَىٰ And we didn't send before you except men that we gave inspiration to from all different towns. Meaning the fact that a messenger would come and call people back to one God is not new. I've been doing this all along to many, many cities. And many of those cities were ruined because of people not listening to those messengers. And these Arabs, these mushrikun, because I have made travel easy for them, other Arab tribes get robbed when they travel. The Meccans can travel easily without getting robbed. So because they can travel easily, they pass by Aad and Thamud. They pass by the ruins of ancient Egypt. They've passed by those places. So Allah says, haven't they traveled already in the land? Haven't they looked at what was the outcome of those who came before them? Meaning, they had messengers, and look at what happened to those. You know, it would have been, it's interesting. The mushrikun of Makkah, when they passed by these ruins, they must have wondered, man, what people lived here? How did they make homes inside these mountains? We make homes of mud. They carved homes inside mountains. How did they build this thing? And if they were so powerful, how did they disappear? How did they get wiped out? And then they're not historians, they're not archaeologists, right? They don't have this vast historical record. And then Quran comes and tells them the story of those nations that whose ruins they pass. And they're like, oh, that's what happened to them. And now Allah is calling on that knowledge and says, haven't they passed by the land? Haven't they traveled in the land? Haven't they taken a good look? What came of them? Those who came before them? And after he shows them that, look, no matter how good a house you build, no matter what kind of pyramid and sphinx you build, no matter what remarkable tombs you build, you're still dead. You're still dead. No matter what palaces you build, look at what they've turned into. You're still gone. If you want a home that's going to last, it's not going to be on this earth. It's not going to be on this earth. You know, to me, the ruins of Egypt particularly are such an incredible reminder from Allah. You have architecture that has survived millennia. That's unheard of. Like in New York, you have a home that was built in the 1900s that's literally got reconstructed over and over again. Over here in Texas, when you build a home in the 90s, the soil shifts, you got to get the foundation redone, right? You got to get the piping redone, the air conditioning redone, the roofing redone. You leave a house untouched for 30, 40, 50 years. What's going to happen to that house? It's not going to be a house no more. Let me tell you, it's going to fall apart. And what happens even in because we use cheap labor and cheap materials and we cheat people and we build big buildings in the Muslim world and one earthquake happens and what happens? The structure falls apart. Lots of lives are lost. We don't build architecture to last, right? And even now they talk about elasticity and having architecture last. These ruins of Egypt, how many thousands of years did they survive? If there was ever any architecture, any palace, palatial home that was timeless, you would point to Egypt. You'll point to those ruins, you know? And you would have pointed to the ancient pyramids around the world. And the question then arises, where are the powerful inhabitants of those amazing structures? Where are they? They're erased from the world. They're erased. And look, after Allah makes reference to those homes that were built to last, right? What good is a home that's built to last if you don't last? Isn't that an incredible argument that Allah makes? Just look at this. Look at how it lasted, but look at those people. Where are they? Where did they go? And look at what Allah says next. وَلَدَارُ الْآخِرَةِ خَيْرٌ And the home of the final life is better. لِلَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا For those who protected themselves. Which is also an interesting, you know, phrasing, because the entire idea of building a home is to protect yourself from the elements. The idea of building a palace and a fort is to protect yourself from invading forces. The idea of building deep foundations and large, you know, rigid construction materials is to protect yourself from deterioration, from the roof to collapse. And he says the only protection is taqwa. And when you have taqwa, you're building yourself the home in the final end. وَلَدَارُ الْآخِرَةِ خَيْرٌ لِلَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ Why don't you think then? Why don't you think then? Meaning Allah then points to, he was saying, haven't they traveled? But he points at the end, have you not thought about it, all of you? So he switches over to the second person. It's called an iltifat. Now, because we're talking about the flow of the passage, I'll bring this up. The third person is distant. The second person, you, so the third person is they. The second person is you. And you is close. And when you go from the third person to second person quickly, that's supposed to be a wake-up call. Okay? Students should listen carefully. You better listen carefully. When you say students should listen carefully, students better be ready. They better study for the exam. 20 students sitting in the class going, yes, students. And then you say, you, Abdul Karim, be ready. Yes, 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 Ustaz. Because the moment I say you, the they became all too real. They can, you know, what they call in psychology, the diffusion of responsibility. When you use they, it could be talking about, it's talking about everybody. But the moment you use the word you, then it comes way too close to home. So that's what Allah does. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ He brings it close to home, which is also really interesting, because the they, which is distant, was used for when you're passing by ruins which are distant in history. And then he switches to the you for you who are living right now. So he uses the closer person for the closer time and closer era, which is incredible. حَتَّى إِذَا اسْتَيْأَسَ الرُّسُلُ Then he says, but why did that happen? Why did those nations get destroyed? Well, at the end, the final episode of those nations was the very moment when their messengers almost lost hope. And they were convinced that they're going to be called liars. That's one of the readings. We did multiple readings of this ayah. Our aid finally came to those messengers. Meaning, those palaces, those homes, those civilizations were not the source of aid. Aid came to Allah's messenger whose call was not being heard. وَلَا يُرَدُّ بَأْسُنَا عَنِ الْفَنُجِّيَ مَنْ نَشَاءُ And only who we wanted was rescued. Only who we wanted was rescued. وَلَا يُرَدُّ بَأْسُنَا عَنِ الْقَوْمِ الْمُجْرِمِينَ And our punishment shall not be taken away from criminal people. So this passage is about Quraysh and destroying their false sense of safety that they find in shirk. Which seems like it almost has nothing to do with Surat Yusuf. Surat Yusuf was about the trials of the Prophet ﷺ, the difficulty he's going through, then to help him find strength and inspiration through the story of Yusuf ﷺ, and that was the entire story. And then at the end passage, I told you, Allah first highlights how the Quran is giving him news he couldn't have had himself. ذَلِكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الْغَيْبِ نُوحِهِ إِلَيْكَ Then at the end, he told him, there are powerful lessons in the story. And then he says, it's an explanation of all things and a hudan wa rahma li qawmin yu'minun. It's guidance and loving care for any people who seek to have faith. That was the discussion. And in the middle of it, the Quraysh better watch out. What is this doing here? Let's try to understand that. So, almost, I want you to think of it this way. If you took 101 and then 110, it looks like one conversation. 101 in isolation and 110. But what happens in 102 and 110. But from 103, I said the numbers wrong. I'm going to start over. If you take 101 and 111, that 102 and... Sorry. 102 and 111, they look like one conversation. Let me read that conversation to you so the numbers disappear. ذَلِكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الْغَيْبِ نُوحِيهِ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا كُنْتَ لَدَيْهِمْ إِذْ أَجْمَعُوا أَمْرَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَمْكُرُونَ. That is from the news of the unseen that we inspire to you. You weren't with them when they were coming together with their decision, and you weren't with them as they were making their scheme. In their story, there is a profound lesson for those who have sound minds. It is not made up speech. You see how there's a continuity? But what I did right now was I read ayah number 102 and I went straight to ayah number 111, which seems like a continuous conversation, just like it was in the beginning of the surah. So what happened from 103 all the way to 110 is a completely different topic. Do the Quraysh think they're safe? And the Prophet's being told most of them aren't going to believe? What is this doing here? So let's connect this first of all. Why would this insertion happen, and why, what's the strategic benefit of understanding this insertion exactly where it is? First of all, Allah says, we have given you news of the unseen. You weren't there when they were making their schemes in private. Yeah? And immediately he starts talking about the Quraysh of Makkah, letting the Prophet know it's not just Yusuf and his brothers, Yusuf's brothers who are making schemes in private. You've got some brothers who make schemes in private right here in this family, the family of Hashim. And let me tell you, those are the people, no matter how hard you tie, they're not going to believe because they hate you. They hate what you have. And in fact, you also have some other brothers through Ibrahim alayhi salam, the Israelites, that are already aware that you're in Makkah and you're talking about the final revelation. And they have confirmed from their own books that you have the final revelation. And they're already starting to scheme in private. And they are the sons of Israel that are scheming in private against you already. And you know what? They're acting like the original corrupted sons of Israel. And yet here they are again, the sons of Israel, acting the same way again. And no matter how badly you want, they're not going to believe. They've already made up their mind. The Prophet ﷺ is being made aware that this is history repeating itself. This isn't the time for them to come around. And it's not like you want anything from them, just like Yusuf didn't want anything from his brothers. And in fact, they felt like they will be left inferior in front of their father, right? There's not even a father. Maybe they want to claim to Ibrahim alayhi salam now, who's the true claimant to the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam. But even beyond that, this is a reminder for all nations and all peoples. And look at that. When Yusuf alayhi salam, he's the only Israelite prophet you can think of that has a message for his own people, the Israelites, and he also has a message for Egypt, right? Other nations benefited from his message, didn't they? And now in the most complete sense, Rasulullah, if the Quraysh don't want to hear it, if the Arabs of your region don't want to hear it, this is a message for planet Earth. إِنْهُ أَلَّا ذِكْرُ لِلْعَالَمِينَ. It will spread no matter what, it's much bigger than you. You could be petty about it, you few brothers against Yusuf. This message and the good that this message will bring will affect the entire Egyptian empire and all of the bankrupt nations that are surrounding it. This will affect the entire world. That's what happened with the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, right? And now, through that example, Allah is telling the Quran that you've been given, their petty scheming and their stubbornness will not put a stop to this. This is too big for them. They're too little compared to this. This is not a big obstacle for you. And speaking of them, you know, you shouldn't be so hard on yourself that they're overlooking. How many signs have they passed through? So you see what's happened? The story of Yusuf alayhi salam and the lessons from him have been juxtaposed. Why? Because how many signs did they pass through? The brothers of Yusuf, they saw the signs of the dream, their father being a prophet. They saw sign after sign of what's happening in Egypt. But they couldn't humble themselves. They just had to ignore. And most of them believe in Allah while they still commit shirk. Notice that. They believe in Allah while they still commit shirk. And this is actually some elements of that we found in the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. Then this false sense of safety. Remember the brother said, who can touch us? We're usba. Right? We're untouchable. And now from that, echoing from that, we come into this passage and Allah is saying to the Quraysh, they think they're a big bunch, huh? أَمْ يَقُولُونَ نَحْنُ جَمِيعٌ مُنْتَصِرٌ. Are they saying we are a big bunch that can take revenge if we need to? We can defend ourselves? سَيُهْزَمُ الْجَمْعُ وَيُوَلُّونَ الدُّبُرُ. the entire gathering shall be dispersed, and they'll be showing their backs. They'll be showing backs. They'll be running off. So they have the same mentality in other places in Quran that the brothers of Yusuf had early on in the story. Then he says, this is my path, I call to it. Yusuf alayhi salam in prison was told, when nobody's there to listen, this is the path of my father and that legacy, he declares it. And now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being told to declare it. This is my path. And it's interesting that he there said, I have left the religion of a people who don't believe in Allah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told, لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينٌ. I'm leaving the religion of people who don't believe in Allah. And he's calling on the legacy of his father. He says, I follow the legacy of my father. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever follows me, and I'm not from those who are mushrikeen. And then he calls him back to the previous Prophet. So what I'm trying to get at is the continuity. There is actually a continuity, and the Quran has strategically superimposed the struggles of Yusuf alayhi salam and the hopelessness that was felt on many occasions with the struggles of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam. But to me, the most important lesson is as follows. You see, at the end of the story, did they learn their lesson? Yeah, they were humbled and they learned their lesson, right? And look at the end. Now you'll appreciate something else at the end. He says, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. In their story, and one of the ways you can read in their story is the story of the brothers of Yusuf. There's a powerful lesson for those who have sound minds. In other words, you can be messed up because they were messed up, but you can still redeem yourself if you have a sound mind. It's not too late for you. This is not made up speech. This is confirming what is right ahead of you. And it's explaining everything. And it's a guidance, and it is a loving act of mercy and care for people who want to believe. Why end like that? After an entire passage, 103 to 110, of how stubborn disbelievers are, Allah then says, by the way, if you contemplate their story, not every story of a nation that has people that rebel against Allah's prophets has to end in destruction. And these words are not made up. You can still find hope. So after that stern warning, most of them won't believe. Most of them still commit shirk. Messengers almost lost hope, and our aid came, and our punishment will not be taken away from disbelievers. At the end of all of that, by the way, there's still hope for you if you can learn from this story. You could be like the story of Nuh and the story of Salih and the story of Shu'aib. You can be like the story of Musa and you can be like the Pharaohs. You can be like the nation of Lut. You can do that. You have that choice. Or you can be like the brothers of Yusuf, who can come back and find themselves, who can be humbled. Up to you. It's up to you. So, وَلَكِن تَصْدِيقَ الَّذِي بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ وَتَفْصِيلَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةً لِقَوْمٍ يُؤْمِنُونَ. So that's, in a nutshell, the logic of the placement of this passage. Now I want to talk to you just about this passage alone and the structure of it. Okay. So what I'm going to show you on the screen now is something I put together to help you visualize this, because it's a lot of text, so from 103 to 110. So actually, let's go full screen on it. So the first thing is, وَمَا أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ, and I made the Arabic really small because I'll say it, but for most of you, you're going to follow along the English. So I've put some summarized notes there. It's not a complete translation. وَمَا أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ وَلَوْ حَرَصْتَ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. Most people, no matter how badly you want, how much zeal you have for it, they will not become believers. وَمَا تَسْأَلُهُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجْرٍ. You're not asking to be paid. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرُ لِلْعَالَمِينَ وَكَأَيِّ مِنْ آيَةٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ يَمُرُّونَ عَلَيْهَا وَهُمْ عَنْهَا مُعِضُونَ. How many miraculous signs are there that they ignore in the skies, in the earth, even though the reminder is for everybody, they're just ignoring the revelation and the skies and the earth and the signs that surround them. So Allah is saying this, they're surrounded by reminders and they are completely immersed in ignoring the reminders. That's the comment that's being made here in 104, 105. Then most of them, even when they believe, they still do what? They still commit shirk. And then, أَفَأَمِنُوا أَن تَأْتِيَهُمْ غَاشِيَةٌ مِّنْ عَذَابِ اللَّهِ. Are they feeling safe that an overwhelming punishment from Allah will not come at them? Why do they have this false sense of security? So I talked to you about that. So these are the, once again, let's look at it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 elements that are in the first part of this passage, okay? But now, and I told you, this is up to 107, but I told you this passage is up to 110, right? So I'm going to show you something that kind of helps us build the architectural view of this passage a little bit. So the first item I mentioned to you was most people, no matter how hard you try, will not believe. Now I'll show you the end of this passage, the bottom of this passage. حَتَّى إِذَا اسْتَيْأَسَ الرُّسُلُ وَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ قَدْ كُذِبُوا جَاءَهُمْ نَصْرُنَا فَنُجِّيَ مَنْ نَشَاءُ وَلَا يُرَدُّ بَأْسُنَا عَنِ الْقَوْمِ الْمُجْرِمِينَ. If most of them will not believe, when a prophet hears that, what will happen to that prophet? He might become hopeless, right? And if most of them will not believe, then most of them are deserving of what? Punishment. Look at the ending. Until messengers almost lost hope, and they were convinced that they've been lied to. Our aid came to them. So no matter how hard you try, they're not going to believe, but you know what? That doesn't matter. They're still going to be destroyed. They're not going to win. Allah's will win over them, and our punishment will not be taken away from them. So their adamant, you know, refusal to believe at the end will be met with Allah's decisive punishment. You want to be decisive about disbelieving? Well, then Allah is decisive about punishing. So that's the opening and the closing of this passage. Now, we talked about these two. That's the decisive, them decisively disbelieving, and Allah decisively punishing eventually. The second item was, you're not asking to be paid. وَمَا تَسْأَلُهُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجْرٍ. And working backwards, Allah says, and the final home is better for those who have taqwa. In other words, Allah, the messenger is not looking for payment in this life from anyone. The messenger is looking for payment from the akhirah. And the messenger wants you not to have any earnings in this life when it comes to costing you the earnings of the next life. The messenger is trying to save you from destruction in this life and allow you to enter the final home by Allah's mercy in the next life. So this is actually about where your motivations are, because we run after compensation, human beings, right? So on the one hand, messengers aren't asking for worldly compensation, and then Allah says, by the way, believers and people who have taqwa, they have an akhirah compensation that's way better. وَلَدَارُ الْآخِرَةِ خَيْرٌ لِلَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا. So the two contrasting compensations have been talked about. So once again, the first, the top and the bottom, and the second from the bottom. Then you've got this third portion, which is, it is a reminder, and they ignore it, whether it comes from revelation, or it comes from the skies, or it comes from the earth. They are constantly in a state of ignoring reminders. And on the flip side, Allah says, it's not just the reminders. How many messengers have we sent before? And when people ignored their reminders, what happened to them? These ruins, right? These ruins came at them. So this is the consequence of ignoring those reminders. And in fact, another way of looking at it is, those are the reminders of the earth. As they travel, they see that. They see the revelation had come from the sky, and look at what happened to this earth over here. And by the way, those nations were destroyed many times by punishment that came from the skies. Right? So the consequence of their ignoring that has been seen throughout history, that's been contrasted between 104, 105, and then all the way at the end in 109. So now we've compared three components, and now we move on to the fourth. Most of them will not believe except they commit shirk. وَمَا يُؤْمِنُوا أَكْثَرُهُمْ بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ. And on the flip side, tell them, this is my way. I call to Allah with clear insight, I and whoever follows me, and I declare Allah's perfection, and I am not one to commit shirk. Most people, even when they believe, will commit shirk. I won't. Actually, in Makkah, this is important to know, in Surah Al-Ankabut and other places in the Quran, Allah describes that if you ask the Quraysh, these people who have idols around the Kaaba, وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ. If you were to ask them who created the skies and the earth, they will absolutely say Allah. Wait, the mushrikun will say Allah. Over and over again, if you ask them this question, this question, this question, they will absolutely say Allah. In other words, they say Allah and they still do shirk. So Allah is saying, then it's not just that you believe in Allah and they believe in Allah. The difference is you believe in Allah without doing any shirk in Him, any shirk with Him. And so that distinction has been made. Most of them don't believe except they do shirk also. You declare that I am not from those who do shirk. So now four elements have been compared to four elements. And finally, are they feeling safe? that an overarching punishment will not show up like it showed up to previous nations? And on top of that, on the flip side, are they feeling safe that Judgment Day itself will not show up all of a sudden? So two kinds of senses of security. You see, Allah talks about two kinds of, or actually three kinds of punishment in the Quran. The destruction of nations, the Day of Judgment, and then hellfire. There's three. Destruction of nations now, then Judgment Day, then finally hellfire. Those are the three main components of punishment Allah talks about in the Quran. Now, Allah, the two main ones, even hellfire is actually, you can consider it the final chapter of the Day of Judgment. Right? Because once somebody's being punished on Judgment Day, that means that's where they're headed. So if you think of it this way, you can think of it as Allah describes punishment in this life and in the next life for nations. So if you notice in the first half of the ayah, are they feeling safe from punishment in this life? And on top of that, are they feeling safe from the punishment in the next life? Meaning on Judgment Day, when they're resurrected, are they feeling secure? So in that sense, and I'll show you the Arabic now, and I've color-coded it for those of you that are familiar with Arabic, so you can kind of see how everything is converging. وَمَا أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ وَلَوْ حَرَصْتَ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ is tied to حَتَّى إِذَا اسْتَيْأَسَ الرُّسُلُ وَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ قَدْ كُذِبُوا جَاءَهُمْ نَصْرُنَا فَنُجِّيَ مَنْ نَشَاءُ وَلَا يُرَدُّ بَأْسُنَا عَنِ الْقَوْمِ الْمُجْرِمِينَ وَمَا تَسْأَلُهُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجْرٍ is about ajr in this life, and you don't need that from them for this da'wah, because the only ajr we want is the pleasure of Allah in the akhirah. So, contrasting from that, from the bottom up, وَلَدَارُ الْآخِرَةِ خَيْرٌ لِلَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ In huwa, the third item, it is nothing but a reminder. And so there's two components to the message. There's the reminder and the one who's delivering the reminder. And so there's the reminder and then there's the messengers who delivered it. So, رِجَالًا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِمْ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْقُرَىٰ And then there's the reminder of the skies and the earth, which is nature. You can think of it as that. And then there's the reminder of history, right? And that's the ruins of the past. So all dimensions of the reminder, the message, the messenger, who himself is a reminder. You know, فَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُذَكِّرْ You're nothing but someone who reminds. So the Quran is dhikr and Rasul is mudhakkir. And the sky is a mudhakkir and the earth is a mudhakkir and history is a mudhakkir. All the mudhakkirat are combined in these two ayat on both sides. And then when most people corrupt their faith in Allah with shirk, you should declare, when they do, وَمَا يُؤْمِنُوا أَكْثَرُهُمْ بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ No, you declare, أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ وَأَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي وَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ And finally, in the middle, is the false sense of safety. Either false sense of safety that Allah will not get you in this life, or the false sense of safety that Allah will not question you on Judgment Day. Or أَتَأْتِيَهُمُ السَّاعَةُ بَغْتَةً وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ So this is the sort of final component to my discussion on the last passage of this surah. I want to give credit to one of my dear students and who's actually, mashallah, surpassing me in many ways in the study of structural coherence in the Quran, Munir, who I had a certain view of this passage, which is far more complex. And he gave me this breakdown and suggested if I consider this alternatively. And he asked me not to mention him by name, which is why I'm mentioning him by name. You can put the camera back on me. But now what I'm going to do, my plan this week, inshallah, is to actually do the most exciting part, which is the story itself. How is the story organized? And it is mind-blowing. So hopefully I want to do that whole structural view of the story in one sitting. Because I just want you to see the whole thing in one go. And I think you'll really, really enjoy that. So that's my plan for tomorrow, inshallah. I hope to put a really clean presentation for it together so you can make sense of it easily and make reference to it later on. And I'll also refer you to some other people and whose work I've taken advantage of to put that presentation together, inshallah. So we'll talk about that tomorrow. And then when this coherence piece of the work on Surah Yusuf is done, the final piece arguably will be this surah and its connections to the Prophet's life. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and specific incidents in the Prophet's life and specific elements in the Prophet's life, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and how it's tied to this surah. So that'll be the final series of discussions we're going to have before we wrap up the surah. And then I have things to talk to you guys about which surah we're going to take on next, inshallah. So, but we're a little bit away from that. Hopefully tomorrow you guys will join me. For those of you that are have, you know, friends and family that aren't watching nowadays, I would request that you somehow invite them to join me tomorrow. I'll try to start my session tomorrow at 8 p.m. my time. So about whatever time it is for you in the world right now, 90 minutes before right now, tomorrow is when I'm going to start my session. It'll probably be an hour or less, but I think even younger audiences, everybody will enjoy it. It won't be complicated. There won't be Arabic in tomorrow's session. The whole thing will be in English. And I won't even make too many Arabic references, because to understand the order and the sequence of the story, you don't really that much need the Arabic references. You don't really need much of that. You just need to understand that. And you can, those of you that are versed in Arabic, alhamdulillah, tulab al-ilm, then you can see that for yourselves in the story, inshallah ta'ala. So I'm excited for that tomorrow. Look forward to seeing you then. Barakallahu wa lakum, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.